If you're wondering where we've been, then some arse posted all the shows up into the server and forgot to post them up on WordPress. That would be me. I was a complete dickhead last weekend. I posted everything up thinking I'll do it in the hotel, but actually my flaw in my planning was I thought I'd done it and I hadn't. I forgot the do it in the hotel bit. So all the shows are up there. I just need to get them and post them. I'm so sorry. But I'll have posted them by the time you listen to this. So we're all good. I can edit this bit out. There we go. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, fantastic panel. Starting us off, I've got to say, she's off the subs bench, but she is more than welcome. It's the fantastic host of the House of Cards show, which we still haven't posted, but we've got like about eight episodes. Well, we've done the whole series. Jackie.
No, we have not covered it all. We took a little bit of time, but yeah, absolutely. I think that's definitely why I wanted to make sure I caught the show today, because we need to make that happen. But yeah, okay. House of Cards, it's been great. What we do is we compare the UK version with the US, but I mean, ooh, obviously we're focusing a lot on the US version, since that's the big Netflix one and that's the cord killers sort of version of the series. But I think it's been very interesting and we should have those up very soon, and well, I think that people will like that. I have certainly learned a lot from my co-hosts, particularly, you know, having Roberto and Charlotte Henry on it.
Charlotte, of course, is a bit of a political animal herself, and
she's
worked for an undersecretary. The only problem with Charlotte when she did the first episode was she'd only watched two episodes of the actual show. But British or American.
Don't let that get...
Shh, don't tell anyone, though. But, no, she's watched them all now. I can guarantee you she's watched them all. But she's got political insight, if you like, to the workings of Westminster. So she can kind of draw the parallels there for you. And I've been on the show myself, and I've got to say, it's a great show. It really is a good show. So we'll get it posted, and we'll get all of the episodes up. We'll leak them out, give a couple of days gap or something, and then we'll get it posted in iTunes. But
Jackie, and I just want to say one more thing about Charlotte. She's become one of my best friends now, listening to her and talking with her through the show, because while I'm not a journalist, I have worked as a consultant with U.S. government, working for House Majority Whips, doing those sort of things, consulting. And so it's been very interesting to kind of compare the two. And you know what? Politics is politics. And it's funny that it doesn't really matter where you are. It all kind of just works the same.
Okay. Well, yes and no, definitely. Listen, we were talking about Bill Maher before the start of the show, and we were talking about his flipper district thing, and that would never happen in the UK. Turner Ward. sounds like a brand of coffee, actually. Next to her, we've got Jeffrey Gamet. I haven't seen you in forever, dude.
I've been missing you, Ewan.
Oh, I love you
it's
too.
It's really great to see you.
I'm nearly at the end of your gin.
Oh, I've saved it. Sad thing.
Well, no, you see, I'm doing well. For me and alcohol, by now, we're talking March, April, May, June, July. We're 4 months down the line from Macworld. I mean, for a bottle of alcohol to last 4 months in my house is going some. I have properly savored this. I'm down to the last quarter of the bottle.
Well, considering. I'm assuming it's pretty hard for you to get a hold of that gin, the Spirit Hound gin.
Yeah.
Where you are.
Yeah.
I think you've done a fantastic job of rationing.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I deserve that. I really do deserve that because I've tried so hard. But we need to figure a way out some shipping method.
We'll figure it out.
And PayPal and like Skype for gin.
Oh my God! Let's do a Kickstarter.
The other thing is,
Skype for gin.
I have desperately tried because I've been staying in the hotel that I told you about because for the first time in a long time, and I went in this week to breakfast. And I'm like, I am gonna steal packets of Marmite so I can send them to Jeffrey. They've stopped doing the little tiny frigging catering packets of Marmite, you bastards! That's not good enough. I'm going to take all our American friends and send them all a little tiny bit of Marmite so they could try it and go, holy shit, how do you eat that? But I'm sorry.
I'm assuming there's a lot of alcohol involved.
No, you eat Marmite for breakfast, mate, on toast with loads of butter and Marmite
good
on the top.
Lord.
And if you're a proper Marmite lover, you have, it's like a quarter inch thick, you know. And if, to tell you what's good, sorry to interrupt, but I can tell you what's good. You know you're a Marmite aficionado when you spread it on the butter, you get swirls of butter that come through the Marmite, and it looks like it's brown and white mixture. It's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty, absolutely.
Yeah. I have never been happier to be lactose intolerant in my entire life.
Well, no, but the thing is, the Marmite is made of yeast. It's not got anything to do with lactose, so you can have it on anything you like.
Yeah, but the butter...
Well, you could use margarine or whatever it is that's not lactose-based. But soya margarine, Jesus Christ, that sounds awful.
I'm a typical American Californian. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Marmite is the byproduct of yeast that's used in brewing. So when they finish brewing, they take all of the sludge that comes out of the tanks when it's filtered, and that's what makes Marmite.
I gotcha.
It's repackaged yeast poop.
Yeah, it's a multi-yeasty type of spread, and it's gorgeous. Is it like an infection, says Bookery? Like yeast? No. I will get you, somehow, I will find somewhere that sells catering buckets of these things, and I will post them out to all of you, I promise. Next one, it's Kelly G. How you doing, missus?
I'm doing well. I've missed you guys. Aww. Between the bash and app camp and everything. It's been kind of a crazy few weeks.
I got a LinkedIn thing saying you're like a permanent feature with app camp now. You started a new job and you're a permanent feature with app camp.
Oh, because I added the volunteering to my profile. Yeah, because I volunteered at all of it last year and I'm going to be at all of it this year here in Portland at both of our sessions.
Excellent, Mrs. App Camp Girls, if you're into coding, get in touch with them, but they're massively oversubscribed.
Underfunded. Do talk to us, because we need people, and this year is the year we're working on being able to hand a package of information and hardware and software requirements and things over to someone else and let them set it up. And so this year is the year we're working out the kinks of that. We have a session in Seattle coming up. And once we get that working, we'll be able to hand off App Camp to anybody. So if you need App Camp Brummers, we're there for you.
Mm. And if you're a girl who's into coding and you've got rich parents, even better. That's not what I meant.
Even better.
And last but by no means least is Righty Boy.
Hello, mate. You all right?
I'm good, buddy. Now, you and I had a rare old day with Jim. Yes. Did you throw Jim in the chat room?
We had a moment, didn't we?
He came up with you for the bash, and we had the bash was great on Saturday. And then Sunday, we sat in my garden, and we got slowly, absolutely pissed.
Pickle. Well, I worked out. I came to your house at 9 a.m., and we left at midnight. So
we didn't drink the whole time, did we?
No, did you all the time? No, I was around yours for making sandwiches.
I'm asking that as a question because I don't freaking remember.
No. You said, you were like, barbecue around my house at 12 o'clock. And I said, yeah, no worries. He said, no, my house at 9 o'clock for making sandwiches. And then, like, from 9 a.m. to midnight, were we looking at the moon? I can't remember. We were looking at the moon?
We did. We got my telescope out on Friday night and we got it out again on Sunday. Enough of that. And no.
Well, you got your telescope, yeah.
Chris Woods was brilliant because when I got my telescope out, he sat there and he's got phones and he's lining the phones up with the eyepiece. And we're like, oh, Jesus Christ, Chris, get a beer, get a life, don't worry. And all of a sudden he goes, I've got a picture, and he turns it around. And it's like the best picture of the moon that you've ever seen through my telescope, but using a cell phone. So I'm then like, dude, I've got the best camera on a cell phone in the entire world in the Nokia 1020. Take a picture. So he takes a picture, and I'm zooming in, and everyone's going, and you can see the craters along the top, because even though it was a full moon, you could see the craters around the top of the full moon. And then everyone's just passing their camera forwards. And Chris, I'm not joking, Chris is there taking pictures with cell phones for 45 minutes, and then goes, I'll take one on my own phone now then. Everyone's just like, take a picture. But it was brilliant, and he was absolutely awesome. And I'm going to try it myself. I'm going to get lined up with Mars and Jupiter and all those kind of things, and I'm going to try and use my cell phone, because cell phone through the lens, it works a lot better than you think.
But what a day. That was an amazing day.
Well, we've got another bash coming up. I wasn't going to do this until towards the end, but we'll do it now, because we're talking about the bash. The bash next year is on the 4th of July. So we're really sticking two fingers up to all the Yanks, because they can't be there.
Clearly.
And it's on the 4th of July, which is my marriage day. I'll be married 18 years next year on the 4th of July. So that'll be another thing that I'm in trouble for. And it's going to be a fantastic day. But what we're doing is we're doing a whole weekend. So we're doing Friday for the curry. We're doing Saturday for the family day and the bash and all the fun. And then on Sunday, we're going to have a limited number of tickets and we're going to do a developer-y, conference-y type day.
Oh, yes.
And we're going to have... Don McAllister might do a session for us. I'm going to do a session on building a drone and flying it, and I'm going to build a drone and fly it during the day in my garden. Wow. And we're going to get other people, like Paul Shadow's going to come in and do an AV session maybe or something like that, and where Paul Wheatley's going to do a wireframing session on how to design an app, and we're going to do like little sessions throughout the day that you can listen to. And there'll be a barbecue as well as, and there'll be beer and that kind of stuff, and then you all sod off home on Sunday night or Monday morning.
So Jeff, we're totally going, right?
Yeah. We need to make
but can we happen. Can we say what an awesome weekend the bash was? It was the best weekend.
Well, the reason we came up with the idea was on the Sunday, there was a whole group of us that were there that had got Windows phones, and Alan Hauschel is on the Pocket Show, and if you don't listen to the Pocket Show, you bloody should, because it's an awesome show. It's a great for an Android user, an iOS user, and a Windows user, and meshes them all together and tries to get them to get along, which is fine until Alison Sheridan comes on. We got Alan Hauschel, who's the Windows guy on there regularly, and he was there saying, oh, do you want to sign up to the developer account? Do you want Windows 8.1? Do you want to have a go with your Katana and those kind of things? And you're like, yeah, okay. And he's shown us how to do it. And I was like, this should be a session. This should be something that we should do on the Sunday. We should get people who are knowledgeable and go, here's what I know. And everyone else sits around and goes, oh, now I know that too. And that's what we're going to do on the Sunday. It's going to be an awesome, awesome weekend next year. And... we've got another bash coming up.
My passport needs some new stamps.
Mm-mm. We're going to start the Northern Bash as well, because in December the 6th, we're going to have the Northern Bash. So traditionally at Christmas, we have the Gamer Show quiz. And what we're going to do is we're all going to pile up to just south of Edinburgh. We're going to have the Gamer Show quiz with everyone who wants to turn up. And there's a pile of beer. And then when we finish that, we're going to leave where we're at and we're going to go to a local curry house and have a curry. And then we'll all wake up under a hedge somewhere and come home. But that's 6th of December. We'll put tickets up. The other thing that we suffered this year a little bit with is the fact that we didn't get tickets up for sale fast enough. There's a lot of reasons for that. But the web page for Bash Tickets is still up. So it's BritishTechNetwork.com/bash tickets. And what we're going to do is put up the ability to buy the Bash tickets. You could buy them now. Well, you can't because we haven't put it up. But, you know, next week, you could buy a Bash ticket for the 4th of July right now. And you can buy a Bash ticket straight away for the Christmas do, the Game Show quiz, right now. So you can buy anything you like, all right? And we're going to try this Developers Day next year and just see how it goes. And if it works, then we're going to do it the following year. And we're going to hire the same venue and we're going to have 200 tickets available for it instead of just 20. But
awesome.
The Bash was awesome. The Bash was absolutely fantastic.
The best day ever.
Mm. The Week in Tech. What stories did you all come across that you thought, oh, the British public really needs to know this? Who starts us off? Ladies first, Kelly.
Okay. So I have a couple of things that might be interesting to talk about. The first of which is a new revision, I guess. It's kind of a clone of a Raspberry Pi. They're calling it Banana Pi. It's a computer out of China. And it's... it seems to be a little perkier. It's got HDMI video out on board, which my Raspberry Pi doesn't have, two USB ports and an Ethernet connector. Ooh. And one of the things that's mentioned in this linuxuser.co.uk link is that it's surprising it took someone this long to create something similar, to create something like the Raspberry Pi. So it's got a newer processor in it. There's more RAM. There's a SATA 2.0 port instead of, I don't remember what it is that's on the Raspberry Pi now. So these are, this is some interesting stuff. It looks like it might be kind of fun to check out. And I know that the Raspberry Pi was something that was much easier to get in the UK than in the United States. So I thought you guys might be interested in that. I think it's cool because I really, really like the portability and the ability to have a little dedicated computer that just does one thing, whatever it might be.
But this
I think that's awesome.
This is a significant leap in processing power because you've got 1 gig of DDR3 SDR RAM, and you've also got an ARM Cortex A7 dual core processor. So with an SD card slot, this is well, I guess as far as I say, this is not Pi. This is at best Pi on acid.
I'd go with speed, but yeah.
I mean, I think that's a mini HDMI, isn't it? It's not a full size, but
yeah.
The SATA's, you've got SATA out, you've got Ethernet, USB 2.
I mean, IR it doesn't look like you have to add much to it in order to get to do quite a bit with it, which is why I think it's kind of interesting.
I think that's really interesting. No Bluetooth on it, so it's shit. But I'm joking before I get emails, Christ.
Ewan looks forward to your letters.
Yeah, very much so. Now the Pi thing's interesting because when I was on I was on work come holiday in Devon, and I called in a shop and there was a book there for £1 on starting with a Raspberry Pi. And I bought it, and I've done nothing more than prop the door open in the office with it so far, because I haven't bought my my Raspberry Pi as yet. But there's a point now where actually I should have bought my Raspberry Pi at the time, because you got Raspberry Pi 2 is out at the moment, haven't you? That's just launched out in the UK. And now you got this Banana Pi thing that you've really thrown oil in the ashtray there, Kelly, for me. And I don't know whether to buy one now or not, or whether I should just say, do you know what? My book talks about Raspberry Pi, so I should go back and buy just the Raspberry Pi and then not complicate the issue.
Is there any affiliation between this and the Raspberry Pi? This is a whole new project.
Not that I know of. No. I didn't find anything that made that clear.
I mean, Raspberry Pi 2 is not this far on. It hasn't
It's leaps and bounds above, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think you and I think whatever you end up buying, I think you should pull the trigger and buy something. Because one of the things I have, I don't remember which Raspberry Pi book I have, but it's one of those project idea sort of books. And what I like about those is not building the project step by step out of the book. It's, hey, they used it for this, and if I just went like that, I could use it for something else altogether. And, you know, and it just gives me ideas for what I could be using it for instead. And I think that that's a lot of fun.
Jim's just called Lee Garrett, Paul Amps just called Lee Garrett a monkey. I don't know what that's about, but okay. Lee.
So what would we do with this? What would be the desired kind of thing for this? Because obviously the Raspberry Pi has got kind of lots of things like security systems, media centers, you know, the power in this is kind of, you know, well and above the Raspberry Pi. So what would we, if we were to get one tomorrow, what would you do with it?
Do you know what? Take the piss out of me all you like here, because I'm fully up for it as a game. I looked at this and instantly thought, you could make your own Apple TV.
You could.
Well, you probably couldn't. But
that's sort of what mine is. I put Plex on mine. Mine is my Plex server now.
I mean, if you've got Ethernet, you've got USB 2, you've got HDMI out, that's screaming media center connected to an external hard drive, surely.
They're all missing TV tuner. It's the day someone put TV tuner in one of these, that's the killer, isn't it? Because that's the issue with all media centers. Oh, I've got a media center at home, and obviously I've got a TV tuner card. If someone did one with a TV tuner, that's the absolute killer, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Sol Ams came back and he said, yeah, I don't get the monkey reference because you're the ones with the beards. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a beard.
Yeah,
offending the ladies now. Come on.
Come on.
No. He's talking about me and Wrighty. Yeah, but the other thing is Jufro Jim was there. And if you say, why is he called Jufro Jim? You have no reason to doubt why he's called Jufro Jim once you've said hello. I promise you.
No.
HD tuner on a Pi. That's all you need.
Yeah. If you had a TV tuner on that, that's the killer thing. I'm surprised that
they've released
a new product like this.
You can get a
just not put that TV tuner in. Because that would be absolutely killer, because everyone could put that underneath their TVs.
Mm-hmm. You could get a Hopog one that's USB too.
Yeah, exactly. Job and that's done. What I've got in mind now.
Okay,
Jim gave me the card that I've got in mind now. I've got Windows Media Center running right now, but you get a little board like this with a TV tuner, and that's an absolute killer. It really is.
Is there limits on the OSs that you can put on these? I mean, you know, what's the best OS that you could fit on at the moment?
What's the processor? We're saying...
I'm thinking if you look at
it... It's still ARM, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you're talking about an A7, surely an A7 would cope with at least XP.
Yeah, well, you could run XP Media Center Edition and you'd be laughing at doing recording and everything, so...
You could type Linux Mint on it. I know it's not
but, you know, you could still run it.
Why would you want to put Windows on that instead of Linux?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, though, but I'm trying to say what's the most powerful OS that you can come across that would run it. So if you stick 7 on that, it's going to fall over left, right, and centre, I would have thought.
There's nothing wrong with XP, I'll tell you that. For a man who supports Windows 95 in 2014.
Let's not get into a debate about Windows operating systems and their merits. Let's talk about how powerful is the OS that you can put on this? Because there's a familiarity with the Pi, surely. I mean, that's the key thing is you get a Pi and you put the OS on it that you feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's the biggest OS you could put on that you're comfortable with, whether it's Mint or whether it's Ubuntu or whether it's... any of the other OSs that are out there. What OS do you put on it?
Well, you'd put Linux on there because of it being a lightweight operating system. That'd be the the most logical thing, and it's got XBMC support and all that sort of thing. So that would be the most logical thing to do there. And it is obviously Linux being updated where XP isn't. So it's probably the most likely thing, but all you need is Media Center. If you've got XBMC running on Linux, that's all you actually need. If you've got, but like I say, that lack of a TV tuner, the Media Center's all right because you can do that with Apple TV and Roku Box and all those sort of things. You can do it with an old XP Pentium 4 if you wanted to, but if you could get a real kind of, because there's a lot of like dedicated flavors of Linux that'll go onto Raspberry Pi, if you can get one of those, it'll go onto this and run it as it, you know, it's designed to do. You'd be absolutely laughing.
Well, this Banana Pi has got compatibility with Raspbian, which is the Raspberry Pi thing, Ubuntu, Debian, and it's also very interestingly got full compatibility with Android and KitKat as well as Android 4.4.
And so you could install, Android on there straight away.
I mean,
so.
And you've got what's the there's an Android laptop out, isn't there, this week?
Yes, yes. One of our listeners has bought a Android laptop this week. Yeah. Posted on the help blog, so you can get it. But I noticed that you can download Android free anyway, can't you? You could probably you could actually probably put Chrome OS on this as well, the hacked version.
Yeah.
So you could probably get all your Plex and everything on there as well. So, you know, these kind of low-power operating systems are kind of doing all the work that you need them to do. You don't actually need Windows anymore. What Linux and Chrome OS and all that are doing, yeah, put that on there. And you know, hook that up with the Chromecast as well. Mm-hmm. That's all you actually need.
Oh, shove the Chromecast.
I did put a link in the chat room to the Rasplex installers.
Right.
That will let you put... a particularly tricked out Raspberry Plex setup on your Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, because Plex, the only thing Plex is missing is actually TV tuner, isn't it?
I think so. Well, yes and no. See, like, I don't have a need for one. So to me, the Apple TV functionality of it, the part... It fills a hole that the TV tuner doesn't have and that the Apple TV doesn't have, which is all the other video of stuff that I have accumulated in the world that I can't play through my Apple TV otherwise. And that my TV isn't smart enough to figure out as video, so it won't just play it. So that's why the Rasplex stuff had appealed to me, and that's why that's where my Raspberry Pi is headed. So.
Mm. Good pick. I like that as a story, Kelly, because I think the Raspberry Pi is something that's, to go back to the App Camp for Girls thing as well, you know, the Raspberry Pi has got to be one of the things that puts the power back in the hands of the user to try and you know, well, here's a blank screen. What do you want to make it? Where do you want to go today?
Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about the books that go with Raspberry Pi, like the project ideas and different things that you can do with the Raspberry Pi. That's part of what makes that exciting to me, is because if you read a couple of ideas at the same time and get this intersection of, oh, you know, that would totally work in my house for this thing. And then you have the power to go and make that happen. And with the internet, you can take something that someone has already built and repurpose it to your own thing, because a lot of the Raspberry Pi stuff is open and easily modifiable. And it's pretty trivial to track what's happening as you do it. And it lets a lot of people dig into lightweight programming that maybe wouldn't have ever considered it before. I think it's great.
There's an interesting point as well that, you know, is with its walled garden. We've just done the Mac show, and I don't want to turn this into the Mac show, but is Apple missing out in getting into this light programming stuff and getting, because it's so focused on the iOS platform, not letting developers get into this free flow, development idea that the Raspberry Pi's offered? Because, you know, a stripped down version of, even if you could say, look, well, okay, but you can put OS 9 on, or you can put Leopard on, or something like that, would be super cool for the development community. And Apple really doesn't have to care about that. They don't need to give a shit that someone's putting Leopard on a Raspberry Pi, because, you know, it's a dead operating system to all intents and purposes.
Isn't they're saying that the Apple TV has fallen behind in the kind of charts of these streaming TV boxes, haven't they? So it's actually falling behind anyway by being a closed system. So by opening up that little box up, and I'd love to open that little box up and do some more with it. I think they are suffering the consequences of not being able to do that. But if you get that operating, you know, what my guys at work do with Hackintoshes and things like that, then if you could actually get that onto, I think we would love a Mac operating system on a little box like that. Apple's suffering. You know, they've got to do something with the Apple TV very soon. Because it's actually a very limiting product. I was kind of in the supermarket today, look at the Chromecast, eyeing it up, going, oh, I could buy that, but I can still stream TV to my TV using Apple TV. But I'm kind of moving away from it because it is so limited.
Jackie, for God's sake, woman, don't raise your hand. Just talk. If you don't butt in mercilessly, you're never going to get it.
One of the two stories that I picked, as in the rush to get caught up with you guys, was that 1 year ago today, Google unleashed the Chromecast, and now it has been used over apparently 400 million times. Whoa. And it's available in 30,000 stores worldwide. And it's surprising to me, because it wasn't until Chromecast came out that I could get my mother to watch House of Cards. She's very much into politics and those sort of things. And so to be able to broadcast Netflix on a television so she didn't have to figure out how to do that on a computer, it was amazing. Yeah. I think this is just absolutely the way things are moving, and I feel sorry. Well, I don't know what the ISP networks are in the UK, so to speak, but I know that Time Warner, Comcast are the two big ones in the United States, and boy, are they fighting tooth and nail to keep customers, because other than internet service, I have no use for them.
Yeah, no. I mean, in the chat room, we've got comments here from Solheim saying the Raspberry Pi is the best thing that's happened to in ICT to education in the last 5 years for those that have bothered to embrace it. That's the point. Encourages the mind, as with time and effort, and you can do almost anything with it, and the kids love that. Jufro Jim chips in with Mac don't like any kind of hacky stuff. They just like their stuff to work on what they do, which is where I think they're limiting themselves to a certain degree, because they're not pulling developers in. There's no, you know,
but you've the Hackintosh movement never went away.
No, but well, you're all sat on a Hackintosh at the moment, streaming the show out, because I hadn't bought a Mac Pro, and I will do in a couple of weeks, bro. But the point is that if you talk about getting kids in as iOS developers, or as OS X developers, getting them into OS 9 development, if you like, in the Pi environment, would be a drug sale. It would be that But, you know, how do you get people into this walled garden? And Ellis is starting to do ICT at school a little bit more, and he's done very basic programming, and they're on an animation package at the moment that deals with stickmen and stuff like that. And he's doing really well at it. And he came home, he said, I want this package, Dad. Can we get this package? Yeah, fine. If it's for education, I'll buy anything you like. And lo and behold, it's actually a free package that animates stickmen. And he's learning stop animation using these stickmen. And previously, when we've done stop animation together using stop motion stuff
from Boinks?
The Boinks stuff, yeah, on the Mac. He's always been leaping ahead and too fast, but now he's got the idea of the fact that one frame is 1/25th of a second, if you want it to be. And he's starting to get into that. And it's because he's got a free application where he can apply it, where he can get a result that he can look at, so he can then say, well, you know, how far have I got with this movie? I press play, and lo and behold, oh, right, okay, that's really jerky. So he goes back in it, and then he replans what he's going to do and how the people are going to move. And in terms of development, as a developer, that needs to spread out into the development community for kids so that they can sit and program in operating system languages and can see an instant response, but something which is not so onerous that it's like, well, okay, if you want to do Hello World, you're going to have at least studied for 5 years, otherwise not going to happen.
Right.
And that's where PyKit gets in, surely.
Well, I think part of what Apple is trying to do to entice more people to program, I know it's for iOS, but I think that's where Swift comes from, is a lot of people, I have spoken with, I'm not a developer yet, I'm actually in process now. People I've spoken with who are Ruby developers have looked at Swift and said, it is not a great leap from Ruby development to Swift development.
That's Dylan.
I'm just telling you what other people have explained to me. And for a lot of people who want to get into programming, dipping your toe in with Swift is much, much easier than doing it by trying to jump in headfirst in Xcode and learning Objective-C in order to make that happen. So I think that that's very cool.
Okay, good. Good pick, Kelly. Good story. I like that. I like that a lot. Well done.
And did you notice there was not a lick of Apple in it at all?
Good girl. We're an Apple-free show here. The big show is an Apple-free show. Jeffrey, what did you bring for us, sir? What was your story?
Well, the one story I thought about talking about was the fact that Google Chromecast has become such a huge thing. You know, but we've already gone to that. The fact that if my mother's using it, then it's huge. And it's only been 1 year. However, the other story that I thought about talking about was the fact that the UK, the Telegraph UK, in the UK, Telegraph Co. UK, has actually released a story about Twitter's diversity in their workforce, and that how it's 30% of the company are women. And, you know, that's the same as Google. Other companies are a little bit worse. Facebook has 7% behind Yahoo. And it's kind of surprising to me that, I mean, I know that women in technology have a huge sort of obstacle to get across and we've got CEOs of companies that are women and those sort of things, but it's still a bit of a struggle for women in technology. And I'm really surprised by that because of the people that I know in technology. You know, it just doesn't seem to make sense.
There's an interesting thing here in this because I do you remember the L'Oreal, not L'Oreal, Always advert the other week that was run like a girl, throw like a girl. Mm-hmm. And I bit into Rennie Ritchie quite badly on that on Twitter, to the point that he said, I want to be excluded from this Twitter feed. But I basically said, it's a frigging ad. It's an ad to sell more press-on towels. It's got absolutely nothing to do with political correctness of the phrase, like a girl. And all of the people, all of the male and female adults that were in that were bloody actors. It was obvious that they were actors and they were reading a line out. And it was horrific. And I thought, I'm going to call them out. I'm going to write a blog on this, and I'm going to find out what the diversity is like of the board for Procter & Gamble, who are the people who make Always. And I was really, really surprised to find that they've got 13 board members, 7 of which are women and only 6 of which are men. They have proper diversity in the boardroom. And that kind of put paid to me writing an article about it and giving them a good slagging. Well, you're all a bunch of blokes in a Procter & Gamble, so therefore, oh, okay, you're not, actually.
I'm completely confused. I think that in the most of the sort of the common jobs or you know, I mean, are we talking the high level executive positions, or are we talking just average staff, and is board, that the percentage of it? And I would like to see a breakdown of each.
Well, board
there is a breakdown.
Board members, as far as Procter & Gamble are concerned, board members are 6 blokes and 7 women out of the 13 people that are on the board. So at the board level, they've got more than their
well, I'm glad to know that there is a breakdown, because again, I prepared this.
No, it's fine.
No, I mean, for Twitter. I meant for Twitter.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I found that. So yeah, 30% of Twitter's employees are female, but when you limit it to positions that are directly related to technology, the number of ladies drops to 10%. Which is far more realistic, I guess.
Yes.
Sad reality, but reality all the same.
Let me play devil's advocate here for a minute, and at the risk of Kelly calling me a misogynist and starting off on me once again, at what point do you then stop saying, well, hang on, have you noticed a lack of women who are digging holes in the road? And
no.
No, but that's my point, is that there's certain jobs that one sex gravitates towards, and certain jobs that another sex gravitates towards.
No, I mean, I've been by a number of construction projects recently where there's ladies doing just as much as men. That's what I mean. No, at least here, it's not the thing.
Can I just say how much fun I had on Twitter making fun of Gordon Ramsay? You know, the chef Gordon Ramsay, obviously, from the UK. He made a joke about how he went to start a campaign to get women back in the kitchen. You know, I understand what he means, because a lot of the big chefs are men, but you know, all right, that's not tech related. So,
I mean, they're taking the piss out of me in the chat room, saying that what I've got hold of is a hot potato. But actually, if you look at IT classes and you look at the kids that are in IT classes, and even if you look at Ellis's primary school, the people that are constantly huddled around the computers. And to a certain degree, maybe because the incidence of Asperger's is higher in males than it is in females, you've got a lot of boys huddled around the computers wanting to do computing over the girls. The girls gravitate towards other lessons, more art-based stuff by a long degree.
Do you know why?
Well, I don't know why.
The boys won't let the girls take a crack at the keyboard.
No, that's not it.
That's why.
I guarantee that's not it at my son's school. That is not it. No, I'm not having that.
Okay, but can I throw in that might be a generational thing? Like, maybe when you and I were in school, like, that might have been a thing. But I think today, there's absolutely no excuse why women can't just go, you know, just take technology.
Totally agree. There is no women.
And I want that to be true, but I just got done doing a week at App Camp for Girls where a lot of the girls were saying a lot of the things that I used to say, which is I would be in a group and I was the only girl, or I was one of 2 girls. And every time I had an idea, the boys would shout it down or the boys would ignore me. And so I gave up, because girls aren't dumb and don't want to continue to beat their head against that wall most of the time. And so that's why they bail for art and other stuff where they can get listened to, or something that's more solitary. Like with art, like I'm painting a picture by myself. I'm not painting in conjunction with 3 other people. So I think that part of that is where that comes from. But I'm still hearing those stories from girls in high school right now.
The one thing you can say about the British National Curriculum is that the British National Curriculum requires ICT to be available for everyone to an equal level. And I'll get Ellis on the show next week and ask him to kind of explain. But You know, when I've gone,
that would be very cool, actually.
Yeah, it would. When I've gone into the school and I've looked, there's a lot of boys who are doing it, and there's a lot of girls who aren't interested. And I don't think they're not interested because they haven't got the opportunity. Because if they went and said, "Miss, they won't let me on the computer," "Sir, they won't let me on the computer," they'd be right, you off, this girl on. There's yeah. there's absolutely total equality, and there are potential to do it. But the situation that changed when I sat and did computer technology at school, and I had 3 or 4 months of doing basic programming in an IT class, and I walked away from it because, as a dyslexic, I found basic to be utterly, utterly confusing. But
I'm not dyslexic, and it was confusing. Don't feel bad at all.
Okay, I'm not. But that class was that was an elective class, and that was 95%, 98% boys. There was a couple of girls that went in. And that wasn't because the guys were hogging the keyboards. That was an elective class. Do you want to be in this class? Yes or no? And guys to 98% said yes, and girls said to 2% or to 98%, no, we don't. But that was a purely open choice. And if you gave kids an open choice now, who wants to do ICT? You wouldn't get 50% of the girls raising their hands and 50% of the boys raising their hands. You're still going to get 80% of the boys raising their hands and 20% of the girls. Because if you look at the kids that are playing video games, Ellis goes online and he's got mates that he can join up with and play with. Now, two of Ellis's best friends are girls, but they're not playing computer games. The computer games is still the realm of the guys. So when it comes down to who wants to do ICT...
Why? Because they probably turned on in-game chat and quit playing online games. That's why I quit.
No, you are the exception to the rule. You can't take yourself, Kelly, and see yourself as the norm. I don't mean that you're abnormal, but before you like
that. I totally am. It's going to say on my tombstone, "Here lies Kelly, the exception to the rule." I'm not even kidding.
Exactly. But
you know, Kelly, I have a hard time believing this too, because, you know, I'm also a gamer. I'm a tech enthusiast. I, you know, work for, support various tech podcasts, that kind of thing. However, I don't know that I'm very common. You know, I mean, I interact with a lot of people in these realms, and it's just, it's surprising to me when I run across another woman like yourself. But you probably more, because you do programming. You know, I obviously don't. I can only hope that it's going to change, or it'll become more balanced. But
Jackie.
I think with any profession, there's always going to be an imbalance.
Hang on, Jackie, because you're saying you hope it's going to change. But what if those people don't want that? I don't want to do this course. I don't want to be this person.
For myself, being somebody who loves technology, I can't understand why any other woman wouldn't.
Well, and to that point, we don't expect, like at AppCamp, I'm just going to keep using that as my example. With AppCamp, we don't expect everybody to go on and become a computer scientist or a developer or anything like that. What we're trying to do is expose them to the opportunity, because there are a lot of things that happen in software development that don't involve being a person who is hunched over a laptop typing mystery strings of letters and numbers into a development environment. That's not all of it. And somebody who's really artistic might find that there's a certain amount of appeal, because they've never put together, until we told them about it at AppCamp, that somebody is responsible for all of the artwork that you see in everything that you look at on your phone. And there were a number of girls, both last summer and this summer, who sort of didn't put that together and didn't realize that that was somebody's whole job, was just making the app look beautiful, whether it was through artwork or good design choices or you know, the right colors together. And they spend a lot of time and get really excited by that. And that girl could still be a girl who goes on to do something in technology, but it doesn't necessarily have to be coding. And so part of what we're trying to do is just sort of open their eyes to the opportunities that are available, because a lot of girls probably would like a chance. We're not trying to force anything on anybody. I don't want to force anything on anybody. Like, if technology is not your jam, it's not your jam. And I get that. But I mean, there's a lot of things that are not my jam that, you know, if that's your jam, then power to you. Like, anything that involves an Xbox is kind of not for me.
When I was at school, right.
But that's a different, you know, that to each his own. And we're just trying to give more people an opportunity without getting shouted down by someone else.
I totally agree. Let me just say straight off the bat that if there's an opportunity that should be available for both sexes to do anything whatsoever, doesn't matter whether it's IT or whether it's sports, then that has to be equally available to every single person. And there should not be anything that stops that person, whether it's piss taking from the opposite sex or some negative commentary that comes from the opposite sex that stops them from doing it. But there's a natural gravitation of sexes towards specific changes in what they do at school and the choices that they're making in careers. And you can't force that change upon those sexual groups, sex gender groups, by saying, well, you know, actually, Twitter, you should have more people that are programming for you. Well, okay, they're not there. And if you look at some comments that are being made in the chat room, and I've never seen as much black in the chat room from text. Sol Adams says, absolutely never understood why there's a sex split between them and why it's so high. Jufro Jim says, women should be given exactly the same opportunities as men. They should be fairly dealt with. But setting targets for companies to have 50% female workforce is just wrong. Campion says, I manage an IT help desk employing almost 200 analysts. We've got 10% of those analysts are female. And this is despite the fact that we specifically look to recruit females through either agencies, job fairs, or at sixth form schools and local colleges. Jim, as for glass ceilings and inequality in play, it's absurd. If they're working at the same level, they should get the same amount. Yes, they totally should. I couldn't think to a degree that there is a high enough percentage of females that are interested in pursuing careers, says Lee. And he says, what's the point that you just raised about gaming? If you look at them from a young age and the percentage of girls that play games, I think the percentage stays the same as they grow up that are those that are interested in ICT. Jim says, to be fair, I know as many technophobe guys as I do girls. So
there's quite so a lot of diversity of opinion. I was able to pop in at the last minute with a
You're never coming on again
with a story that actually got people talking about something. I don't care, we could debate this all day, but I think this is lovely.
I think there's a debate that needs to be had.
Can I just point out how exciting it is to not be the only girl on the podcast?
by chance. It'll never happen again, Kelly.
Oh, I know. I'm so lucky to be plural. I'm never and I having know it to. Won't happen
I swore blind.
Charlotte and I are bad news. Readers.
I swore blind when you and Henry were on the same podcast. I was never having two girls on the same podcast again.
I know.
And tonight has reinforced it.
This has been so much fun, though.
No, I think
so glad you made it, Jackie, sincerely.
No, I think there's a conversation that needs to be had, but I think it's wrong to say that corporations are bad because they don't have an equal diversity of employees.
No, and I don't expect them to. There's not enough qualified women to do a lot of the jobs that Twitter has available. That's just the way of things. There are only a certain number of women who graduated from college 15 years ago with computer science degrees who have had enough experience to be able to do the kind of stuff that a company like Twitter or Google or whatever needs to do.
I think engineering,
the talent pool there is very, very different.
But I think engineering is a good parallel. And I've been to an engineering conference today and filmed it. And the quantity of people in the audience who are engineers, who are men and who are female, you're talking 90%, 10%. And there is no barrier to female engineering whatsoever. There's no barrier that's worse for female engineering as opposed to female ICT. And
it's the same sort of thing.
That split is still there. But those those engineers are not excluded because the boys were hogging the lathes at school.
No,
it's just they don't gravitate towards it.
There's also a whole lot of not encouraged. That's part of why App Camp isn't for girls who are juniors and seniors, 11th and 12th grade. It's for 7th, 8th, and 9th grade because it's before they've had sort of the love of technology beaten out of them. Like right now, Ellis is younger than that. So when you look at technology in Ellis's classroom at school, you probably still have a lot of girls who are super interested. And as they get older, they kind of bail out of that stuff because as boys get older, they get louder and as everything changes because you get to high school and like all bets are off. Thanks, puberty. A lot of times, a lot of girls don't have the persistence, the patience, the backbone, the thick skin, whatever it is that allowed me to survive when other teachers were telling my mom that I should not be spending as much time on the computer as I was spending because what good is it going to do me because I'm a girl?
You're atypical. I can speak from full experience here. I got a 10-year-old son and I got a 5-year-old daughter. Both of them have grown up with the iPad. The iPad for mm-hmm. Ellis was a world he could immerse himself in.
It's a very different world.
The iPad for Briny is a utilitarian device. She goes on, she plays some shitty game about a nose. I don't know what, nose doctor. And she plays that for 15 minutes and then she tosses it to one side and she wants to go and play with the dolls. And we, uh-huh. I mean, Briny is a pink girl. She is a girly girl. She is through and through girly girl. My wife was a tomboy as a kid, so she ain't got it from her. And although I'm in touch with my feminine side, I'm afraid she hasn't got it from me either. But she is obsessed with pink. She's obsessed with dolls. She had all Ellis's old toys when she was a kid. So, you know, right down. So there's been nothing that's indoctrinated her towards being a pink lover, but she's a girly girl. There's a nature and a nurture that goes along with ICT, and
in a year or two, she may want to do nothing more than go outside and climb trees and skin her knees.
She's more than welcome to do it. We've not stopped either of the kids from doing it, but Soliam in the chat room says, I agree. I genuinely think if you polled 100,000 men and 100,000 women and asked them what they were interested in doing, whether it was a career in IT or not, you would find that double the amount, at least, of men would say yes more than women. And I would say that you could go down to my daughter's school level at five and say, would you like a job in computing? And you'd get 70% boys say yes and 20% girls say no.
Last thing I'm going to say, and I'll wrap it up, but at the turn of the century, most of the secretaries were men. Mm-hmm. Now, does this mean that this is something that will change?
Not in the UK.
You know, I'm totally just throwing a ball out here because we're not talking about the immediate future. And with technology moves so quickly, it's not about waiting 100 years for things to shift. So
pink used to be the color for young boys, for baby boys. It was pink. not blue.
That's not what I meant.
I'm just brought a real conversation to this in 10 seconds.
Moving on.
After putting my makeup on.
It's got nothing to do with colors. Jeffrey, what was your story, mate?
What a hard
Please, for God's sake, please have brought a good sex toy.
He really wants a new iPad case.
I want an iPad case that tells me again, that it loves me. Actually, what I have today is this product that I came across a couple days ago. And I'm like, oh my God, we can get this for our home. Apparently, vaporizing your alcohol and then inhaling it instead of drinking it out of a glass is a thing now.
No!
What? Yes. You can't do that.
And so much of a thing, you can actually buy for your home an alcohol vaporizer so that you can get lit even faster.
Have you read the Forbes article on the dangers of vaporizing alcohol?
Oh, it's horribly dangerous.
Otherwise, why would I do it?
To like really mess yourself up or potentially kill yourself from alcohol poisoning, because you're vaporizing it, it's going right through your membranes and you don't have to go through the process of regular metabolism.
Apparently, this is called smoking alcohol, and it's they're called eyeball shots.
Yeah, eyeball shots.
That's a whole other thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
eyeball shots are a different thing because you're actually pouring vodka
in your eye,
or another hard distilled liquor right into your eyeball, and people are going blind from that. And the other thing have been doing is sticking hoses in their butts and then pouring in alcohol.
In the what?
Yeah, no, because suppositories are massively quicker at ingesting. Definitely, yeah.
In your butt?
It's faster.
In your butt. What? In your butt.
No. Jackie wishes we'd have stuck on the sex gender thing. One method described
vaporizing alcohol doesn't sound quite so bad, doesn't it?
Oh, no. Yes, let's go back. Can we go back?
One method described on multiple internet sites is to pour the alcohol over dry ice in a thermos bottle and then inhale it directly using a straw or a pipe, aka a bong. Another option is to make a vaporizing kit using a bike pump.
Yeah.
And this method, the bicycle pump is poked through the top of the cork. Following this, air is pumped into the bottle in order to vaporize the alcohol, with users then inhaling.
Yeah, and what
apparently, according to AWOLspirit.com, it's the UK's ultimate party toy.
A machine called AWOL, yep. Alcohol Without Liquid, became popular in 2004 to do this. It's old technology.
Bars you can go to where you can inhale vaporized alcohol. And I'm thinking this is a perfect example of technology gone wrong.
Apparently, it's good for losing weight. It's called drunkorexia.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
I shouldn't laugh.
Well, no, it's a serious. When did you last do this then, Jeff?
I've never actually done this.
Well, surely it's a journalist.
It only caught Jeff's attention because the video has a bottle of Maker's Mark in it.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, podcasting juice.
Exactly. That. Yes, podcasting juice. Now, I've never actually done vaporized alcohol, and it had never occurred to me that this would be a way to ingest my alcohol. Just like until I saw videos of people pouring vodka into their eyes, it wouldn't have occurred to me that anyone would even consider doing something like that. And now we're at a point where you can buy a vaporizer for alcohol for your own home. And I'm waiting for the stories on the news about people being found dead in their homes from alcohol poisoning because they inhaled so much.
Mm.
Seriously.
I've never done this, and I don't think I'll ever will do it. And I like a bit too, but I don't think beer vaporizes very well, surely. It's got to be a high alcohol liquid.
Yeah, my guess is that you need to stick with high alcohol distilled liquors.
30% and above.
Situation.
Yeah. 30 proof and above. Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Well, there's no discussion on that, Jeffrey, because all of us are old farts and sitting thinking here, what the bloody hell do these kids get up to these days? I tell you, I should do ICT instead.
Yeah. And see, what a difficult act to follow, and this is what I showed up with.
Good man. You have now stunned us twice in a row. Do you know, I've looked everywhere for that iPad with the flashlight on it. I cannot find it anywhere.
Assuming that you have to order it online.
Yeah, assuming. Righto, Jeff. Okay, mate. You know you've got one.
You know.
I don't see the point of it either, because surely the iPad doesn't stay still.
No, it goes up and down.
Well, surely the idea is that everything moves in unison. I don't know. Righty, what did you bring?
Well, the contaminant is this, can I really? But I'll give you a bit of piracy. How is that?
A bit of piracy?
A bit of piracy.
Go on, then.
Well, us in the UK, we don't like any piracy, do we?
Ahoy, maybe.
Ahoy! Piracy. Sorry.
Right, go on.
But, I'm an American. I can say that.
I don't know if you heard that from next year, if it's been on the cards for a long time, that if you're a persistent pirate, we're going to send you a letter saying, naughty boy or girl, you're a pirate. And then if you continue, we're going to send you another letter.
Warning letters.
A warning letter. We're going to send you another one. You're a pirate. If you carry on, we're going to send you another letter. And that's three strikes. So what happens after three strikes?
You're out.
You'd assume you're out, yes. But no, the story that I'm reading is from PC Pro, which is saying four strikes, you're not out. Because according to the Creative Content UK program, after four strikes, you're not out. Because I don't know if you've heard before that there's kind of some kind of toing and fro between the ISPs and the BPI and Motion Picture Association and all that thing, that we're going to threaten people if they do anything illegal, which is fair enough. But the ISPs are kind of arguing that it's against European law. So if you pirate once, you get your letter. You pirate twice, you get your letter. You pirate three times, you get your letter. That's when the sanctions come, isn't it? You get your broadband cut off, you get taken to court. No, you don't. Because we're so kind of lame on that sort of thing, we're not going to do anything until the next year when we send you the first letter again, then the second letter, then the third letter, then the fourth. And they can't enforce it. So,
isn't there a European thing saying that you can't remove... You can't take action to remove ISPs.
Exactly. So this is the point. So there is going to be a sanction that comes in saying we must warn you that you are pirating. We can warn you three times and a fourth. But the fourth point, we can't impose any sanction on you. So they're obviously going for the sanctions where they're kind of blocking websites like the Pirate Bay and things like that. File sharing sites, obviously you can get around with VPNs and stuff. I don't sanction that sort of thing. But what I'm kind of wondering is, are we in the position where piracy is low now because content is so freely available, or is it the point that content is not freely available enough, it's not affordable enough, or is the scarcity of content means that people still pirate, or are we just kind of being lame to the kind of to the kind of fundamentals of piracy as a whole? In that they feel that piracy isn't such a threat anymore because you've got Spotify, Netflix, those sort of things. Or is it more responsibility for the content providers to provide more available and more affordable content? Because I think it's more the scarcity in the affordability content that makes people pirate.
It's the type of the content that's the issue, though, isn't it? I mean, I think if you steal music, you're a fool because they'll find you. And if you steal movies, you're a fool because they'll find you. If you're taking down a TV show that's been freely available on HBO Go or has been freely available on Sky Transatlantic and you've missed a few episodes and you're downloading those episodes, I don't think you're going to get one of these letters. I think there's kind of like a, I'm not saying unacceptable, but there's a kind of
passe, enforcement threshold.
Enforcement threshold, absolutely. There's an enforcement threshold on piracy, and it's those single high value units that are being enforced, like songs, like albums, and like movies. But TV shows don't seem to be.
If that movie's out this week, it's probably going to get more attention. You know, as something that you could get in trouble for.
Newsroom is a good example for me because I loved the Newsroom. I thought that was an absolutely fantastic series. And as soon as the Blu-ray came out, I bought it straight away. To watch Newsroom consistently every week on a TV channel was impossible for me. So I ended up downloading, rightly or wrongly, the Newsroom so that I could watch it. And then I bought the DVD. Plain and simple.
I absolutely agree. All of the shows that I love, I am a complete cord killer or cord cutter, as you call it, or some people call it. And, you know, I feel like the shows, the content, the material, I felt the same way when Napster was out. When Napster came out, people were sharing music. And I felt like it just gave the potential for good music to succeed. And when you love something, you'll buy it. I know it's hard as a struggling actor or musician, but, you know, I kind of feel like it's just something that, you know, that people will pay for when they really enjoy it.
Yeah, but something that really elite is, because you've probably been to the cinema a few times with the kids, and What's the cost of a trip to the cinema with the family and the kids?
We don't do it anymore.
It's horrendous, isn't it?
We buy
absolutely.
We'll buy a movie a week. And actually, an awful lot of the time, we've bought movies that I've already got that I've ripped the DVD of so that we can get them on HD on Apple TV.
Can I mention, actually, I worked for several years in college as a projectionist manager of a movie theater, and I knew that the major amount of money that those theaters made had to do with the popcorn sales, the soda, and had less to do with the tickets because the ticket price went back to the theaters. And so they would allow us to give people reimbursements or, you know, a come back later and watch another movie, like gift card certificate type thing, just to get them back in the theater to buy more popcorn. So, I mean, it's been a sham ever since it's existed, back to the Monopoly days of movie theaters.
That's true.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was talking to my wife earlier about it. If it was more available and more affordable, it's like I've started a Spotify subscription now, and I did doing a thing this last month, which is like 3 months for a tenner, and I've enjoyed it so much because it's better than obtaining music in other means that I will carry on paying that subscription because it's a worthwhile service and it's obtainable, it's easy to get hold of, and it's expensive, but you know, £10 a month for all the music I can get, that's great. If all kind of content moved to that kind of model, like Netflix, do you think that piracy would go down? So, yeah. if films came out online earlier.
I've just watched Hannibal. I loved Hannibal Series 1. I bought the DVD as soon as it came out, or the Blu-ray. And Hannibal Season 2 has been released. It's been released in the States 3 weeks ahead of the UK. And I can't sit down and watch it on Sky every night that it's on because I'm away from home. So I've taken all the ones that have been released early from the US, and I've watched them on the train when I've had the opportunity to watch them. And I've blitzed through it, if you like, in 2 weeks. Yeah. The wife and I adore Netflix because when stuff comes out on Netflix, we sit down and we wade through it. And at the moment, I watched Homeland in the same manner that I watched Hannibal. But now, because Homeland's available on Netflix, we've sat down and we've blitzed through the first season of Homeland quite comfortably. Mm. And that's the way we want to watch TV, and that's the way people want to watch TV. They want to watch it on the House of Cards model of the Netflix model of here it is, away you go, do it at your own speed. We'll sit down and for 3 nights we'll watch 3 episodes of the House of Cards, and then it's done.
Yeah,
done. Well, week's gone. Well,
what made me think about it? A few months ago, you made a good example that was it 50 people queued up to get the Taken DVD?
Yeah, that was Taken a few years back, yeah.
And what was it? 50 people could have it.
50 people could have an early release of Taken. So yeah. What did 51 plus do? They went out and torrented it. Exclusivity breeds piracy.
Yeah, and like Game of Thrones is probably the biggest, the most prevalent one of this. I don't know if they're thriving on the piracy. It's kind of like Photoshop is kind of Photoshop is kind of thriving as piracy in a way, isn't it? It's more popular because people pirate it. Is like things like Game of Thrones more popular because people pirate it because they can't get it when they want it, because especially in the UK, it doesn't come out for a lot longer than it does in the UK, in the US, does it?
Mm, no.
Yeah, well, when you have the CEOs of HBO Go or HBO saying, we don't care if people are pirating this show, Game of Thrones.
He said that HBO Go logins are like, if you want to share it with your buddy, it's okay.
Kelly, can I have your HBO login, please?
Yeah, and me. Thank you.
Jeez. HBO Go, I would... They want £15 a month for HBO.
I'll share with you guys.
Done. Tell me where to go, which website to go to sign up to have it. Sold.
Yeah. So call them and tell them that, because I call them every couple of months or so and say, hi, if you gave me the opportunity to pay for HBO Go directly, because I don't want to have to pay Comcast any money than I already pay them, then yes, please, I would do that. I will make that a thing. So figure out who the UK equivalent is of HBO customer service and call them and tell them so.
There isn't one. There's no HBO in the UK.
Well, me and you agree. Yeah. Unfortunately, no spoilers. Dexter was a great example. There was no way to get that without subscribing to some service, which we couldn't subscribe to. Unfortunately, the end was... we couldn't subscribe to it.
I was going to say, from what I understand, you didn't really miss anything. No, but yeah, I see your point.
But we wanted to see it, but there was no way over here that we could actually legally see it.
The last two seasons of Dexter, the best bit was, what's her name, the Australian's bit of side boob, and that was it. The rest of it was shit. This podcast and all this is brought to you by... an awful lot of people that support us, and thank you so much to all the people in Patreon who sent money through. If you think we're worth 25 cents a month, then donate a dollar. This show is worth 25 cents a month. Yeah, give us a dollar. If you watch this and the Max Show, give us $2. That's fine. Thank you ever so much. We do appreciate it. We put it to good use. One of the main people who supports us in Patreon as well is also the Network Union. They give us the pipe work that helps us get the live shows out from here, and they also give us support on the Patreon front as well for the Patreon giveaway, which we'll start again next month. We've had a month fallow with that because it hasn't worked out, a lot of reasons. But if you work within an IT company that's large and you use BT MPLS, and I found out what MPLS was the other week from listening to the Bucket Show, holy crap, that's cool stuff. Multiple layer sockets. Oh my grief. They sounded cool. WAN, SIP, Ethernet connectivity, then you're a BT customer, then these are the people that can help you. go in touch with them and say, look, here's my details. If you're an existing BT customer, you won't see a change at all. You'll still have the same contract. You still have the same support. Nothing will change. What will happen is that Network Union will become your agent, if you like, your ability to support and operate within a different area of BT. If you're a small to medium enterprise, then fear not, because you've got business broadband. You can buy through the Network Union. You've also got them to help you support and get the right deals, so fibre upgrades and that kind of stuff. Office 365 will be in there, and Everything Everywhere Mobile will be there too. And it doesn't matter if you're not UK, you're in the States, because they are also agents for Masergy, who are headquartered out of Dallas. So they'll do exactly the same deal with you that you've got with BT, but on the other side of the pond. These guys are absolutely brilliant. They're long-term supporters of us. They've signed up for a long period of time with us. So please, please, please support them, because they support the network. Just sign up with your email. The email is kept to contact you and for no other purpose. You won't get any marketing thereafter. And they're really nice people as well as. So please support them, because they support us. If you're in the position of a small, medium enterprise or greater, and you can give them a bit of business, please push it their way, because they're absolutely fantastic. And the other one is UK2. We had a bit of an issue last week. Our website went down. And bloody hell, website's gone down. I raised a ticket. 3 minutes later, I got a response from them saying, yep, no problem, we're looking into it. And it was a DNS issue that was at fault. So the refresh on that is not their issue. It's something that has to be done across the whole of the globe. And 2 hours later, we were back up and running. They responded in 3 minutes. I mean, that's the kind of service you get from UK2. They give us unlimited storage, unlimited bandwidth. You can get all the shows we've ever done across here and going back to the Bagel Tech days as well as. But the big benefit of these guys is that they really, really do care about your business. And Paul Wheatley has all of his stuff with them personally. And when he rings up, he never puts down that he's BTN. Because, okay, yeah, BTN gets a bit of preferential treatment because they're sponsors of us. But he never puts that down on his responses. And he still gets the same level of response that we get if we put in a ticket.
So I was going to say, you don't have to be Ewan to be treated like that.
They treat
everyone that way.
Exactly. You know, I put that it comes from britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, and they go, oh, British Tech Network. But actually, the support that Paul gets, just as a punter, in inverted commas, is exactly what we get at the other end of it. So please support them, because they're absolutely fantastic. Cool things. Jackie, we do cool things on here. So we'll come to you last. So you've got time to think about it. Kelly, what's your cool thing?
So first of all, I want to let everyone know what Jeff's cool thing is. And it is the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Because
yes,
he went and saw it and he was very excited about it. So I will also let you know, related to his pick, Guardians of the Galaxy is based on a Marvel comic. And right now, because Comic-Con is happening in San Diego as we speak, if you want to try out, and I'm sorry, I don't know if this is for the UK as well, but if you want to try out Marvel Unlimited, which is their $10 a month all-you-can-eat comic subscription service, right now it's 99 cents. So if you want to try it out, it gives you a month to figure out, like, what's the deal.
Marvel's next Thor is going to be a woman.
Yeah.
Thor's a frigging bloke. I'm not having that. Moving on.
Okay.
Don't start down that path again. But there we go.
For a while, Thor was a horse. For a while, Thor was a frog. I think a lady is the least of his concerns right now. The hammer chooses the wielder. That's how it's always worked.
No, hang on. Because actually, the one person who is really pissed off is my missus. Because she likes looking at Chris Hemsworth.
No, he's not changing. And this isn't going to affect the movie universe.
Oh, she might be all right then.
So talk her down with that.
This has nothing to do with Chris Hemsworth's employment. Well pissed off. She thought she wasn't going to see his boobs. Right, anyway.
No, but you know, Chris Hemsworth in a dress is still not too bad to look at.
Exactly. Go on. What's your pick, mate?
So that's Jeff's pick. So awesome, Jeff. Thank you.
Cheers, Jeff.
My pick is, I have two, because I have one that I got out after you told me your telescope story.
Mm-hmm.
There's this company called Southern Stars, and they do some really awesome stuff with telescopes and nerdery. They have a USB wireless telescope controller, and the reason this is cool is because if you have a telescope, I know a little bit like that much about telescopes. If you have your telescope, this will allow you to track something as it moves across the sky. So you can lock in on the moon, and then every 5 minutes, you don't have to go readjust your telescope. This will do it for you. So that it actually is tracking things that you want to track. They
You don't need a motor on your telescope to be able to do that as well, though.
Yeah, it does have. You do have to do that. Yeah. But this allows you to control your telescope, and they also have something called SkyWire, which will it adds a port so that you can connect your phone to the serial port on your telescope if your telescope has a serial port.
Yep.
And then that way. You can use that to control your telescope. You can, you know, on the lens, there's like the view, and you can see what your telescope is seeing on the screen, and you can make any adjustments necessary through your phone or your iPod or your iPad.
And they do Android as well as iOS and as well as yes. Mac OS X applications that will let you look at what's going on in the sky.
Yeah. Satellite Safari is pretty neat. I like, what's it called? Distant Suns, I think is the name of the one that I like, where you point your phone at the sky and it shows you what's in the sky right there.
Skywalk does the same thing. It's very good.
Yeah. I like Distant Suns because Distant Suns has been ported to iOS from the previous version, and it goes all the way back to like the Amiga. It was one of Carl Sagan's favorite applications.
Oh, jolly good.
That's why I'm partial to it. So that's my one pick. And then my other pick for people who don't have telescopes is a super awesome set of free music, because we've been talking about music. And I don't believe you can find it on Spotify, but it's called Geek Remixed. And it's a guy here in town. His name is Bobby Roberts. And he's done these albums called Geek Remixed. And so he takes like music from Ghostbusters and Doctor Who and Star Wars and cartoon show themes and all this kind of stuff. And he puts it all together in this really cool way. And by and large, it's instrumental. He does a lot of like film score, TV score kind of stuff. So you don't end up with a lot of lyrics in the music. And the reason that's awesome is because if you like to have music in the background while you're working, but if it has vocals, it's really hard for you to parse. Like if you're Kelly, that's a problem. You can basically listen to like 3 albums and change worth of fun music and that you like, that sounds really awesome, that is slightly different, but still really awesome to listen to. So, and I love the covers to the albums. They're also pretty awesome. And it's all free and it's just there for you to download. So check out Geek Remixed at geekremixed.com.
Good pick. Excellent. Mr. Wright, what do you have for us? On mute.
There you go. It's an old one I've been looking at for years, but after the bash, Lee was in the chat room. Sorry, if this, then that. And I never really got the idea of what it was all about, but I'm sure everyone in the chat room probably knows. But it's an app for phone or web or anything. You can write little recipes for the internet. So you can kind of tell it, if I miss a phone call, then send me an email. If I get an email down on my attachments Dropbox, or if I drive a certain distance and send an email via GPS to my account manager, tell me how many miles I've driven. It's absolutely brilliant. You can write your own recipes inside if this then that. But you can actually program your phone, Android, iOS, to do certain things for you. So it's a really great little app. It's got a really ecosystem. You can get recipes for little things downloaded to your phone. But if you really want to automate your life, then give it a go. Really brilliant.
Excellent. If then, then that is brilliant. It changed over a couple of years ago, but it is still a superb application.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what it was, but at the bash, a couple of chaps showed me what it was, and that's the great thing, like you said, about the developer thing on the Sunday for the bash.
Yeah.
Those sort of things are the sort of thing we really want to learn.
Excellent.
Good. And IFT also works with a wide variety of stuff. It's not just for interacting with your phone. If you have Wemo switches or Wemo outlets that you use, There's a Wemo channel for those. There's a weather channel. I have mine set up to text me when the temperature goes up to a certain point because I need to go close the windows in my house because I don't have air conditioning. And then it tells me when it goes below a certain temperature so I can go open the windows and cool things off. You can also use it for your Hue lights. So like if you miss a phone call,
you can have it
flash the lights at you, or if it's raining, you can have them turn blue and all kinds of stuff. It's really awesome.
And it's got a thing for Nest and Android Wear and all those sort of things. Hey, yeah, the scope is absolutely amazing.
That would work for deaf people who miss phone calls as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You stupid people.
Oh, I'm trying to be... My God.
Deaf people wouldn't have phone calls.
Yeah, they would.
They would.
That's a not the 9 o'clock news sketch, which is absolutely superb. Jackie, what do you have for us, mate?
I did my best. I ran in at the last minute.
You're and fine,
I kind of imagine that you guys have already talked about this.
Start off with an apology.
But have you heard of Google Cardboard?
No.
Yeah.
No? Yes? No?
I've heard of it, but tell Ewan about it because this is awesome.
Okay. So there's a ViewMaster-like material that you can get by going to the Google website. And by taking your Android, which kind of upsets me because I just finally moved from an Android to an iPhone. And I don't know that I really have the capability of doing this. They have a design that you can set up and cut out some cardboard and put it over your head. And it looks like one of those old-fashioned like viewer finds, you know, when you were a kid, you would like click and go through. Oh, you got it. Yes.
Yeah.
And you set it up and it's a virtual reality type setup that is very similar to the Rift headsets, which cost $350.
Well, this one, to be fair, Jackie, it doesn't do quite as much.
You just get your iPhone and you set it up with cardboard. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I heard someone talking.
Be fair, it doesn't do quite as much as the Rift stuff does.
I'm sure.
It is a bit of
cardboard.
But
I've heard so many great things from people that, you know, Andrew Main and some other folks that I, you know. But I haven't tried it out myself. I'll give you that. Because, I have the iPhone and I haven't. But it sounds pretty amazing. Kelly, did you, said you knew about this. Like, do you have anything to add?
No, just that.
Never ask Kelly to add anything. That's 30 minutes right there.
I saw it as part of the Google I/O keynote because I watched it on the live stream. Googling. So I saw that prefabbed versions of this kit were handed out to people at Google I/O. So that was it. And I haven't heard from anybody who has spent some time with it to see what you actually. What you get from it, what it can do. So I just know of its existence, but nothing beyond that.
Yeah. Good pick, Jake. Well done, Mrs. Excellent.
Last minute.
That's all right. No, it's good. Excellent.
It's awesome.
Now then, if you're lucky enough to have owned a GoPro HD 2 and you switched up and bought the GoPro HD 3, which I'm holding in front of me here, then you'll know that all of the accessories that you had that fitted the back of it still fit the HD3. So here's the extending battery pack, and you're like, do you know what? I clip it on, and lo and behold, there you go. The extending battery pack still fits my HD3 from my HD2. Isn't that superb? Good on you, HD, for trying to not rip off for all the additional products.
Bravo, GoPro.
Until you fit it into the housing that you get for the GoPro HD3, which doesn't fit in the GoPro HD2 housing, and then you try and close the back, and then the back doesn't close, because actually, even though you've got the additional backs, none of them latch high enough to allow you to use your additional back. So I've got the TV back for the HD2, and I've also got the extending battery life pack, and I've got the Wi-Fi backs and all that kind of stuff. Right, I know Wi-Fi comes with this already, don't send me emails. The other week, I'm online and I find this. This is the XC Source aluminium housing for GoPro. Not only is it super cool because it's an aluminium housing that protects your GoPro, but it comes with a screw-on UV filter so you can protect the lens. That screws on there like that, and then you've got a little lens cap which pops off as well, which looks gorgeous. There it is. And the way that it holds your GoPro 3 is you push it in, and then there's just a little friction screw here that you do up, and lo and behold, couple of turns, your GoPro's not coming out anywhere. Plus, it's behind a screen, so it's got a UV filter protection on it whatsoever. It's superb. And because there's no solid back on it, it means that if you canny, you push it open, and your old GoPro HD2 additional extended battery pack goes on the back, and you do it up, and that doesn't come out either. And it's got a little tiny cordy strappy thing that you loop through, that you can swing it off, so you can drop it, and you can put it as a retaining strap. And it's got a connection on the bottom that takes all of your GoPro fittings, as well as, and here's the best bit, it comes in blue, or red, or black, aluminium, and it's £20.
£20!
Sod all. So all you've got to do then is take it with all your existing fittings, and you put the little thing on, and you stick it on your Joby thingy like that, and there you go. You've got all the stuff that you had anyway from your HD2, and all your additional stuff still fits on the back because they haven't stiffed you, you bastards, by making backs that are non-compatible anymore. That is the XC source. So if you just type in Amazon, XC source, the letter X, the letter C, and the word source, aluminium housing, then you'll find them. They're in black, blue, and red, and they're only £20, and they are easily my buy of the last 12 months because they've liberated all the shit that I couldn't use before that I had for the HD2, because I've got every housing and every mounting that was available for the HD2. That's it. That's my pick. Where can we get a hold of you, Jackie?
JackieHearn.com at JackieHearn81 on Twitter.
Excellent, Mrs. Superb. And we'll try and get the House of Cards podcast
posted. Oh, we're going to do that right away. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And thank you, Ewan. I publicly want to say thank you for your patience.
No, it's okay. I haven't spread any rumors about you at all. Most of it is the fact that we haven't managed to get together at all.
It's perfectly fine.
Kelly, where the hell are you, girl?
I wish I knew. You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can find me covering news over at Mac Observer. And in a couple of days, I will be hosting the final Tua Talkcast
over at
UAW.com.
What's up with that? Why are they stopping podcasting?
Because AOL said they don't want to do it anymore.
Oh,
no. Jeez. What? That's a shock.
I know. I'm super sad about it. So yeah, if you want to show up and watch me cry on a podcast, that's probably your opportunity.
Yeah. I'd love to see the vulnerable side of you.
I've been doing that show for 5 years. That's how I got started. That's the only reason.
I never get to see that. You always kick the crap out of me.
That is my vulnerable side, you. No,
it's
not. I'm really sad to see it go because that was really how I got started in actual honest to God podcasting. Was I called into the show a few times while Mike Rose was hosting, and then he said he had to go somewhere at one point and said, "Hey, do you want to do the show? Do you want to be the host while I can't do it?" And he kind of let me borrow the host seat, and I never really gave it back. So I really am sad that it's going away because it's totally the end of an era for me. So I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that show.
Hell, I'm a friggin' irrelevant anyway. Who cares? and Righty, where the hell are you?
Hello, mate. Paulin's on Twitter and always BritishTechNetwork.com.
Good man. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week. Have no clue when that's going to be with another big show. Until that time, thanks for listening.